Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Residents on the Big Island of Hawaii are continuing to live with activity from that island's Kilauea volcano, which began erupting a week ago. The volcano has been active for more than 30 years, and the eruption is different from what you might expect, with lava pouring out of the summit. Instead, lava is oozing out from the ground and destroying homes miles away. Bill Dorman is news director at Hawaii Public Radio. How's it going out there, Bill?
Aloha, Tanzina. Well, as you say, it is not sort of a volcano in the sense that people think of Pompeii or Joe versus the volcano and streaming down from a cone. It is that emerging out and those lava rifts that we've been seeing, but also some more activity now and concerns about further activity up towards the summit of Kilauea as well.
And I have to be honest, the visuals are stunning that we've been seeing of the actual lava. I think me, and I don't know if I speak for a lot of Americans, sort of felt that lava might have been a watery substance, and this is just a terrifying molten rock, essentially, that's pouring out and it's feet high. I mean, how are the residents reacting to this?
For a lot of people, especially in this area on the east side of the Big Island of Hawaii, they live with the volcano. They know that, as you had mentioned, Kilauea has been erupting since 1983. So this is, in a sense, from time to time, there are eruptions. This one is different in terms of the extent of how you are seeing it, with those bursting sort of explosions of lava, which actually the intensity has dialed down over the last couple of days. But still, there are 15 different fissures that are part of this whole process.
We're hearing reports of some of residents having to be evacuated. What is the status today, and where are many of those folks going?
Yeah, so there are two shelters that are open in the area. Some folks also are sleeping in their cars and trucks in the areas around the shelters. County officials say there are about 300 now in the shelters. Also a number of pets, by the way, upwards of 100. Both shelters are pet-friendly. It's been important to a lot of the folks who've been traumatized, really, by losing their homes, by the uncertainty that goes with that. Officials have been letting folks go back to their homes in the Leilani Estates to check on their belongings, to pick up some things, papers and documents, and also in some cases pets as well.
Were people prepared for this, or is there really just no way to tell when something like this will happen? You mentioned they've been living with this for 30 years.
Yeah, I think preparation is a relative term. It's more there is an, I don't want to say air of fatalism, but if you are that close, because there's a volcano, but there are what they call rift zones, which are the patterns of the lava tubes of where the lava can travel to. There is a great deal of uncertainty of how these operate, and even scientists watching this closely and for years are unable to predict with any degree of accuracy where things are going to go or when certain lava flows are going to stop.
What about the impact on two different things? One is the environment, and the other is tourism.
Yeah, in terms of the environment, again, Hawaii is an archipelago of volcanic islands. But it's a matter of time, I guess, in terms of Hawaii Island and active volcanoes right now. This is still a very restricted area. It's terrible for the people who are going through that, but it is a relatively small piece of the east side, the Puna district of the east side of the Big Island of Hawaii. Tourism officials have been quick to point that out and to point out geography in terms of other islands. Just for example, I'm talking to you from Honolulu, so that's more than 200 miles away from the east side of the Big Island, and it is the Big Island of Hawaii where this is happening.
Bill Dorman is news director at Hawaii Public Radio. Bill, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, and aloha, Tanzina.
Aloha. My name is Michelle Grotstein. I'm calling you from Oahu, from Kaneohe. I live on Oahu, so I'm only temporarily impacted by Kona winds. When the wind blows our way and we get fog that causes respiratory issues and itchy eyes.
We take another look at reaction to the volcano in Hawaii and how native tradition and local folklore is creating some cultural divisions between homeowners who want to protect their land from the destructive nature of the eruption and those who say it's all about Mother Nature.
The native Hawaiian viewpoint is this: we will never own our land. This is Pele's home, and to come in and say, "Pele, you go here," in her house is heva. And we need to stop. This is her place, and if she feels that she needs to clean her house, then let her clean her house. Mahalo, you guys.
That was audio from a meeting of Hawaiian homeowners a few years back, disagreeing over a controversial plan to divert lava in case of an eruption. But my next guest says that most natives and locals alike know what they're getting into when they settle near a volcano and understand the traditions and relationship to the land. Kekuhi Kealikana Kaole is a culture expert and kumuhula, a hula instructor with 35 years of practice of the rituals and training to communicate through hula with the fire goddess Pele. Kekuhi, welcome to The Takeaway.
Aloha.
Aloha. So first, let's get started. You're sitting in, surrounded right now by this wonderful sound of coquis, which are known as Puerto Rican frogs that are native to the island of Puerto Rico. Can you tell me briefly how they made the journey to Hawaii?
You know, I think they snuck in some nursery plants, and they ended up and bounced right out of some nursery down the road, and they love the environment here.
It's very similar to the island of Puerto Rico, but it's just fascinating to hear that sound. So thank you. I feel like I'm home. So let's transition to Hawaii. And in Hawaiian tradition, the ancient fire goddess Pele, can you tell us who she is and what she represents?
You know, she is the landscape. So she is the magma. She is all of the byproducts that come about from the volcanic process. So that means she's the steam. She's the sulfur. She is the sulfur crystals. She is the tephra that gets blown out of the volcano. She's all of those processes.
And how important is she, and is it for Hawaiians to understand and respect her, particularly during this volcanic eruption?
The primary form of the Pele element is the volcanic structure of the island. So when we think about how important or how significant she is to us, we have to think in terms of very small pinpoint island community, which is pretty waterbound. And so our view of the landscape is, it's our most precious thing. And sometimes even more precious than ourselves or our own rights to property.
Is Pele's legend something, or the history of Pele, is that something that Native Hawaiians particularly are aware of, or is it something that's gotten lost over the years in terms of, you know, assimilation with American culture, et cetera?
There's always been an awareness of the presence of Pele, presence of the creation of islands and the breaking down of islands. She's also part of that process too. Whether or not we publicly talk about who the deity is, the entire of the state of Hawaii community and even the communities that have moved away from Hawaii are very aware that the landscape is alive.
Kekuhi, thanks so much for being with us on The Takeaway.
Oh, you're sure welcome. Mahalo, Tenzia.
Kekuhi Kialihi Kinakaole is a culture expert and hula instructor, and she lives on the Big Island in Hawaii.